I mean, before we go, have you got a few minutes just to sort of sell the changes of Pulp Cthulhu Mite? Just because it's not a whole change at all. Like, I've had a look through the rules, and it is 7th edition Call of Cthulhu, but it's got some tweaks. There's some really good ones, actually. I particularly like some of the sort of weird science, and I actually like some of the new sanity rules, actually. But is there anything you could kind of just give us a bit of an overview for people that are considering their conversion?
Yeah, well, basically, it basically allows you to modify Call of Cthulhu to a level of pulp that fits you best. So you can play it quite low pulp without using, mega powers and all that kind of stuff. Or you can play it really high pulp and have a lot of, the characters all have, extra abilities and whatnot. But effectively, the nuts and bolts of it is that, the characters are tougher. They do have twice the number of hit points of a Call of Cthulhu character. They are more resilient in terms of their hit points. But sanity, there are ways to negate sanity loss or minimize it to some degree through certain pulp rules. But ultimately, it's still Call of Cthulhu. You still can go insane. And as you just said, Joe, there are kind of tweaks to the effects of insanity, and you have things like insane skills and insane augments that can be applied when your character is insane, so you can do lots of weird stuff as well as superhuman stuff to some degree, without trying not to use the word super too much, because it's not really superhero stuff. It's very much pulp, so you have these tweaks. They're all kind of bolt on, so you can choose what you wish and kind of build the game that you want to play. But effectively, luck is, there's lots of other things you can do with luck apart from adjusting rolls. It's quite a commodity in the game. But it gives the players a little bit more agency, a little bit more kind of dynamism in their characters, effectively. But I mean, you've kind of had a taste of it, I guess. So, what do you think?
Well, I mean, the scenario we played tonight is definitely in the book, isn't it? And there's
yes.
I think there's three others. Am I right?
There's four scenarios in total in the book. Yeah.
And I've flicked through the other three. Obviously, I didn't look at the scenario we're playing tonight because you warned me ahead of time not to read this one. And I think some of the things I really liked is like the pulp villains. Obviously, we haven't touched upon them in tonight's scenario, but there's some very cool sort of various archetype villains that you could use in your games.
Yes, and of course with pulp, because luck is important for the players, it's also important for the villain. So when you've got a major villain, they also have their own luck pool, so, and they have their own set of things they can do with luck that the players can't do, so it can be quite interesting that way, really kind of give the villain some teeth in that way.
Honestly, I felt, initially, I'm not going to lie, going in, I thought that Pulp Cthulhu would probably be fairly pulpy in the sense that the threat of that you normally feel while playing Call of Cthulhu wouldn't be there. But the moment that...
I became a fucking blood fountain.
People just started dying everywhere. Yeah, essentially, when you became a blood fountain and bits of your skeleton were just literally like hitting off the ceiling... I'm like, Cthulhu. Yes. So we meet again.
I was going to say, it does feel like, it felt like we've been playing Pulp Cthulhu without proper Pulp Cthulhu rules for our entire Cthulhu experience.
Oh, no, I also enjoy that Mike is completely okay with killing us. I feel like, yes, Joe maybe likes us too much.
And you just lost 21 of your 22 health points. Goodbye.
Good, you are night. The weakest link. You are now shredded. In a human blend.
So the one of the differences between Call of Cthulhu and anything Lovecraftian and, say, Dungeons & Dragons is the game is meant to be ultimately nihilistic. So no matter what you do, you still fail.
You die.
And I think Mike has been much, much better in both our games of putting across a more Lovecraftian vibe. And I think one thing I'm definitely guilty of is being on the side of the characters too much, in a way. And it's definitely a different style of gaming, and I think it's a more Cthulhu way of GMing a world. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's often the analogy that in Cthulhu you either go mad or die, which is true a lot of the time. However, Pulp Cthulhu specifically, I mean, I've played an entire Pulp Cthulhu campaign, and I've come close to dying, and I did die, but used the avoiding certain death rule to avoid dying. So, in fact, I didn't die throughout the entire campaign. In fact, all the characters made it through the campaign. They did, at times, have to use avoid certain death. And we were, you know, we had enough luck points to kind of be able to do that. But we have made it through the entire campaign. So then, whilst, you know, and it still was very Lovecraftian, it still was quite nihilistic. However, we survived. And pulp allows you to do that in that way. It's not so much the meat grinder that Call of Cthulhu can sometimes be, depending on the kind of style of scenario you're playing. You know, it does give the players and their characters more things they can do in that sense to survive or to negate some of the terrors. And you know, if you are playing in hype up mode, then you know, there is a sanity loss, but you can win the day. You can play a very heroic kind of character. And in fact, in pulp, we don't call the characters investigators, we call them heroes, because it's a much more kind of cinematic, heroic kind of version of Call of Cthulhu.
And I think the original Call of Cthulhu was almost designed for a one-shot like The Haunting, because as soon as you get four or five scenarios in, your character is basically either a gibbering wreck or mad and wanting to almost kill the other players and take over the world. Whereas Pulp Cthulhu doesn't just give you a hero to play with, but it's a hero you can customize. So there's talents you can choose from, and there's, you know, you can be like a weird scientist, or you can be a psychic with their own powers on top of the, you know, Cthulhu spells and things you can have already.
Absolutely, yeah. It's particularly, you know, for people that you know, want their characters to be a little bit more survivable and have a little bit more agency, it certainly provides a toolkit to do that.
So. It's sort of heading towards laundry files territory, without the sort of hierarchical sort of mythology around that.
I guess you could do it, take it in that direction if you were to. I mean, it's obviously it's based on the 1930s pulps. It's based on, you know, largely it's based on Doc Savage and The Shadow and that kind of character, you know, so and all of those things. So, which is what, you know, a lot of modern stories, you know, all have a shared heritage of coming from the pulps to some degree. In that sense, so it's no surprise you can take it into kind of more modern directions if you want to.
Yeah,
and we had a few fans write in. They heard that we would be playing with you, Mike, and there's just a few questions if you've got a few minutes to answer.
Spare you another five.
So at the big one is we've already had Horror on the Orient Express, and then there was the. Well, there was that. There's the game that's been running in game stores for a few.
Oh, the A Time to Harvest, the organized play campaign, which will be coming coming out in book form next year sometime. Yeah,
and it's just whether there's either a chance of either a Pulp Cthulhu or a 7th edition remake of Master of Nanathotep, or if you have any other big things planned in the future that you're able to talk about now. Obviously,
yeah. I mean, masks. We haven't started working on that yet. We will at some point. Put a revised and updated version together, but we haven't actually started working on that, but we will do. But before that, we do have a world-spanning epic Pulp Cthulhu campaign that's currently in art development at the moment. It's all been written, and it's called The Two-Headed Serpent, and it takes you around the world on various missions and ends in a suitably, will your heroes be able to save the world at the end of it. And I've played all the way through that as a character. It's fantastic fun. And written by Paul Fricker, the co-author of 7th edition, as well as Scott Dorwood and Matt Sanderson.
Oh, wow.
So they're
good friends of Jackson Elias.
Yeah, good friends of Jackson Elias. So it's a pretty epic campaign. It's kind of comparable to Masks in its scope and scale. And is, you know, specifically written for Pulp Cthulhu. So that's pretty cool, and that'll be coming out
next
year.
Yeah.
We also, currently in the works, in terms of campaigns, we have a Gaslight campaign currently being written.
Oh,
so
wow.
So if you like Victorian England, it draws upon lots of kind of Victorian horror ghost writers as inspiration, and I won't say very much about it, but it's called The Curse of Seven. And that's currently being written and being playtested, and that's been a lot of fun to playtest. And we also have another campaign for the 1920s for Call of Cthulhu, like the Gaslight one, which is called The Children of Fear, being written by Lynn Hardy. That's set in the kind of Tibet, northern India kind of climes. In the 1920s with, Tibet as a esoteric and strange place for Westerners. And that deals with lots of esoteric and spiritual matters from that region. And again, it's currently in the right in the middle of being written at the moment. So there's three campaigns plus A Time to Harvest. That's four campaigns out in the next year or so. So hopefully, if you like campaign style play, that will hopefully keep you going for a bit.
That pulp campaign just sounds glorious.
And of course, the other thing I should say about pulp is you can take any existing Call of Cthulhu scenarios, but play them as pulp. You might want to tweak the villains a little bit, but pretty much, in terms of the gameplay, in terms of what's happening, it's still the same thing. You just want to maybe focus more on the action kind of things. But, you can easily, play Masters of Malathotep using the Pulp Cthulhu rules, which is probably a really cool idea, because it's quite a pulpy campaign in itself.
And I think that's probably what we'll almost definitely end up doing. I think, as Dave said earlier, we do have quite a pulpy style as it anyway, and having these additional talents, and as I really like the way that Sanity's been tweaked, I think it's going to work with us really well. And lastly, we had a fan ask if you have a favourite Lovecraftian story, or maybe a favourite weird author who's beyond Lovecraft that you'd like to mention.
Yeah, I guess Lovecraft-wise, I think my favourite has always been the Dunwich Horror, because it's one of the first stories I read of his, and it genuinely kind of had moments of, I was scared reading it when it was a bit when they're on the the telephone system and they've all got the network call and they're talking to each other on the farms and they don't really understand what's going on, but farms are being taken out and the messages are being relayed, and there's a kind of real sort of sense of this kind of creeping unknown fear that was coming through it. So I always enjoyed the Dunwich Horror. But in terms of other authors, I'm a big fan of Clark Ashton Smith, who was writing at the same time as Lovecraft.
Yeah.
And recommend anyone to go and seek out his stuff. But modern stuff too. Laird Barron, not specifically writing mythos stories, but certainly they're very Lovecraftian. Laird Barron's stuff is great. Pretty much any book where Joe Pulver has done the editing job in terms of pulling an anthology together, they're always worth checking out too. There's just so many, but I guess my favourite author of all of them, apart from obviously I've got the soft top for Lovecraft and Clark Ashton Smith, but is a chap called T.E.D. Klein, who hasn't written very much, but he wrote a novel called The Ceremonies and a short story collection called Dark Gods. And I really recommend you to read those because they are fantastic stuff.
Oh, that's great recommendations. With the Dunwich Horror, was that your idea to put it in with the 7th edition rules then?
Yeah, I felt that it was very close to a Call of Cthulhu story, because you actually have a team of people working together to try and combat the Dunwich Horror. And you've got old Professor Armitage running around casting spells and all that kind of thing, and it just seemed very suitable for that kind of thing.
And in terms of modern authors, I'd also like to add on, if you've ever read a book called The 14 or a book called The Fold, they're a really, really good twist on the Lovecraftian myth, which we may end up incorporating ourselves.
I'm trying to think. I've not read The Foes. I'm trying to think of, I might have read 14. Who's it by? I can't think of the name.
Is it Ernest Cline or Peter Cline?
Peter Cline. Yeah, I think, I've not read them, but I've got them on my list of things to read.
Peter Cline's.
Yeah, they're on my list. That's why, I must get around to reading those. They sound good. Yeah. I'm currently reading a book called Lovecraft Country by Jeff. I want to say Grubb, but I don't think that's his name. They're really cool. They're an interesting take on using the themes of Lovecraft in a slightly different way, but set in the 19, the kind of 1950s America. Yeah, they're very good. That's quite an interesting read too.
Well, it's as always, it's been great having you on, Mike. It's a real privilege to have you DM for us, to have you on the show. So for us, it's always great, and I hope it's going to help out you and help out Chaosium with sort of introducing new people to the mythos and to different ways to play the game.
Oh, sure. No, it's been a pleasure, guys. But I've had a good, fun game, and hope you enjoyed it. And certainly enough of you died, so that's always a win for me. So thanks very much. And I was just surprised it took you so long to close the box. But
you did well. I thought the box was empty.
Can I tell you a secret, Mike?
Yes.
When you said, you mean the open box on the floor, I was like, oh, he wants me to close it. This was the Nick initially when
that
I said
was
I'd
my
grab
clue.
It.
Yes.
But I wanted
to murder everyone.
To kill as many people as possible before
that's
I
fine.
Close it.
That's as good a motivation as any. That's
yeah. So cat's out of the bag now. Like you made it obvious in your word choice, and then you reiterated several times. Like, so you're running along with
to
the
make
open
it very
box.
Clear. Yeah. Yes. Very clear. But
again.
If it had been my home group, I wouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah, of course. Well, the thing is, I knew, but you gave me the option, so it's all good. I was like, kill away, it's fine. Toro is the only one who must live, for he may end up in our actual campaign.
Good stuff.